Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we're grateful for just a wonderful year that we've had this year. Father, that you've been so faithful to us in so many ways. Lord, your word and your spirit, they lead us, they guide us, they give us light and understanding. They bring understanding to us. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. I ask that you lead us and guide us into all truth tonight, that we'd hear and see your truths, hear and see and understand from you your words, that I would have utterance in the Spirit to speak as I ought to speak. And I yield myself to you, and I thank you for the truths that are in your word about the prayer of praise and worship, and that they will be revelation to us, and we'll act on them, and we'll see the results of your hand working in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 24. And then we'll start in, I'm going to start in verse, I guess my first point this evening is ministering to the Lord in the early church, which is something that Brother Hagin talked about in his book. I've discovered something about myself. I don't do well teaching out of someone else's book. I just have too much to say on my own. But some of what you hear is from him because he taught me so in Bible school. So, and then, of course, we went through his books too. But Luke chapter 24, verse 50, and what he was talking about in the book and what we'll see here in the scripture is that the early church had this habit of getting together and just praising God. One of the things that was stated was that in our current church culture today, we'll have, you know, the National Day of Prayer. And the thought was brought up, we should have multiple days of praise. You know, everybody should get together and just praise God. Because so much happens when as a group, you get a corporate group together who have one heart and motivation in one direction toward God, and they begin to praise God. What happens is God responds and answers out of that. And a lot of times, some amazing things happen in the Word, which we'll see here. When the church got together and worshiped God. So it says this, Luke 24, verse 50, it says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany." This is where Jesus had appeared after his resurrection. "And he lifted up his hands and blessed them." He blessed the people. "Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." So while he's blessing them, while his hands are out, he starts floating up into heaven. In verse 52, "And they worshiped him. And then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were" what? "Continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." The Passion Translation says this, "Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany. He lifted his hands over them and blessed them in his love. While he was still speaking out words of love and blessing, he floated off the ground into the sky." That would be quite a sight, wouldn't it? "Floating off the ground into the sky." We got action from the other room. "Floating off the ground into the sky." Now, this is interesting because the way he went up is what will happen to us, too. And apparently it might be happening tonight, judging by the sound from the other room. It's got to be some sort of illustration or something they're working on. But anyway, they floated up. Oh, it's Jethro. Oh, okay. They floated up. Jesus floated up off the ground into the sky, ascending into heaven before their very eyes. And all they could do, verse 52, "and all they could do was worship him. Overwhelmed and ecstatic with joy, they made their way back to Jerusalem." Verse 53, "Every day they went to the temple praising and worshiping God." So every day they had this habit of praise and worship. They worshiped the Lord. Notice that great ecstatic joy is connected to worship, the worshiping of God. If we practice worshiping God daily, then our joy level will go up. If we practice worshiping God daily, then our joy level will go up. You know, it's just as easy to say praise the Lord as it is anything else. Now, I will say this, you're going to have to make a decision to do it because our whole culture and everything is geared the other way, including your flesh, the desire of your flesh. And so sometimes it's an act of faith, but you can become just so full of God's word and the Spirit of God that it's just a part of your conversation. And what we're going to see from the Psalms here in a little bit is that we are to praise the Lord at all times. I mean, that's a lot. That means there's not really much room for anything else. And so sometimes, too, this is the other thought, too, that we need to connect with this. These verses are not suggestions. It's not like, well, if you were super spiritual, you would do this. It's more than that. It is the Lord saying, look, if you want to experience the fullness of who I am, then this is what you need to do. Now, you cannot experience it. Because especially in our culture, people have the idea that praise and worship is when the worship leader leads you, and that's on Sunday morning. We have got to get away from that mentality. I mean, that's a disease in the church. It really is. It's very disrespectful to the Lord, because the way our culture has shifted in so many ways has gone away from Christ being in you and more really into an Old Testament mentality of God's in a building somewhere. And then when we get to that building, then all of a sudden God's there, so we all shape up. I'm telling you, I've watched it happen so many times because I work construction. So I work around guys that they love God, but they're rough, you know. But when they come to church, they know to turn and shift and act differently. And they control themselves a certain way. So you're telling me that same amount of self-control is not in any other place. It's just inside this building because somehow God likes to live inside this building? It doesn't make sense. But it's the reason why people think that way and live that way is because that's how they've been taught. They've been taught. They've been over... they've just been, like Brother Hagin would say, religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And that is what has happened. Church becomes more about natural things and the building itself and what goes on inside that building than things that are necessary for that building, then the discipleship and the ministry and the building up and the encouraging and the maturing of the body of Christ. It becomes more about those things. So, but here we see, they worship, they praise God continually. Every day they were praising and blessing God. Acts chapter 2, verse number 46, we'll see another example of this. It says, so continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. I think they started to get a revelation that you didn't have to meet in the temple. Mm-hmm. That you could, and it's interesting because Jesus, a lot of his ministry was on the hillside, in the middle of the street, in some upper room somewhere. You know, it wasn't always in the synagogue. Partly because they wanted to kill him, but he didn't reserve God moving to one area. It wasn't a building. It wasn't just a place where a cross was on the outside. You know what I mean? So they broke bread from house to house and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. I love that. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In the Passion Translation, it says this, daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily who were being saved. Notice how praise to God caused increase in the church. It caused increase in the church. I looked this up because it says also in there that they were together and they had simplicity of heart. So I looked up what simplicity means. The word means to be unmixed and pure. This early church was not mixing the world in with their relationship with God. Notice that their unmixed or pure life had gladness and a continuous praise to God. Sometimes, I was just listening to this guy giving a talk on millennials. And he was talking about, he was basically explaining why millennials were the mess that they were. And I think millennials are born, anyone born past 1983 to a certain point. So I'm not one. he was explaining why, but one of the things he noticed was in their scientific studies about millennials is that people who are full of things, like for instance, you look at like Facebook and stuff like that. They did a study with people that spend a lot of time on Facebook, and they had a much higher level of depression than people who didn't. Isn't that interesting? And yet connected with praise and worship is joy. Is joy. Your emotions aren't rolling all over the place with the current news. Because when you praise and worship God, what you're doing is you're opening your soul, your mind, and your insides to who He is. And sometimes people think, well, I got to sing a song. No, you can just say, praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting, we'll get into it in the Psalms, but it's interesting in Psalms, some of their songs were just over and over again, for the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Forever. I mean, you can just sing that or say that. I'd sing it by myself. But, or in your vehicle or whatever you're doing, or if you're by yourself or if you're in a group of people, you can just quietly, for the Lord, He is good. And His mercy endures forever. And pray in the Holy Ghost while you're doing in between. And you'll just have words come to you then. Because we talked about this, I think it was two Wednesdays ago or maybe the last one. But a form of praise and worship, a form of worship or magnifying God is praying in other tongues. You can magnify God out of your heart by praying in other tongues. All right, so they were also in simplicity of heart. In other words, they didn't have a lot of things going on. They were focused on one thing. You know, it's a lie for us to believe that because the culture is busy, we have to be in that same torture. Well, I have to do these things because... Nope, you don't. You don't have to do them. Unless it's the law and it doesn't violate your faith. You know? You don't have to be engrossed in what everybody else is engrossed in. It's not necessary. Well, people today don't do those things. Well, set a new trend. You know? Set a new trend. Decide to do something else. Decide to do something besides what's going on in the current world. Well, if I don't watch the news, I won't know what's going on. It won't hurt you. The Holy Ghost will let you know if there needs to be something that needs to be done. He'll give you fair warning. You know what I mean? Learn to check your heart. Okay? I'll give you an example, okay? So I've done some study and then looking into just different things in regards to because of who we support in the missions in Thailand, trafficking of children, stuff like that. I personally know people that are heavily involved with ministries that rescue trafficked kids. I've been involved in ministry, and whenever you are, you hear about and you sit in places where you're ministering, and then they bring up a minister to share about that, and so you hear statistics. Okay, so I'll give you an example of how this works. Now, my wife and I are not stupid. Everybody said amen. And so, but anyway, so we use wisdom in things. You know, like yesterday we're at the mall, and I showed up late because I will never go shopping that long. But on a personal note, because I needed to buy some shoes and I was going to meet Heidi somewhere with shoes. Well, I knew all my kids were there because they were with Heidi while I was home doing church work. And so I got there and I'm going through the shoe area with her so she can help me pick out something that looks decent. And I realized my girls are not there. I saw Ian, but I didn't see Kylie or Taylor. Now, you know how many times I've heard about kids getting taken from the mall? Because I've looked into this stuff and the ministries and stuff like that. So we use wisdom and things like Ian had to use the bathroom. Well, I go with him back there to the bathroom. Why? Because if some doofus is back there, it's much less likely that he's going to try and go through me than if my son's by himself. Now, let me just say this. I do not just think that way. No, I'm not going to do anything out of fear, because you can do the right act out of fear and cause the thing to come. Okay? So you can be doing, you can even be saying the right thing, but if fear is coming out of you, you're ministering fear. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. And that is not just the words you hear. It's the motivation of what's being said. Because Judas said a lot of the right things, but he sold Jesus out. So you gotta learn to listen with your heart. I learned to do this, man. Thank God for the years that I was in ministry that I was and the things that I went through. Because I finally learned to listen and not just hear, but hear. So when people would tell me things, it got to the point, and it is at this point, where people walk into the church and I'll know them right away. That doesn't mean I know all their details, okay? I'm not saying God goes, they did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. No. I can just, whatever is in you is coming out. So if you're full of fear, you're worrying all day, but then you come to church and you try and put it on, I'll feel it. You can feel it. It just is there because you're a spiritual container. You hold faith and the Spirit of God, or you hold fear. And people say, well, I'm born again. Yeah, but your soul can be packed full of a whole bunch of not born again. And it just is that way. And I don't understand it all. I just know it works. Anyway, so getting back to the mall story. So the girls had their grandmother's phone, I believe, and were texting Heidi at a rate that no child should be allowed to text. Picture after picture of things that she wanted to buy or whatever. So, and they're off together, which I'm okay with that. And but while I'm walking, I'm listening right here. I'm listening on the inside. And then we get to the food court and we're waiting because we're all going to leave. And did I ask where the girls were? I think I did. And somebody said they're on their way or something. And I just sat down in the chair that was there. And as soon as I sat down, I just went, and just inside me, see, you wouldn't even know I'm doing this, but I'm doing it all day long. I'm doing it. Inside me, I just went, Lord, and he goes, they're on their way. And I check inside me. Even if I don't know where they are in the mall, I'll look on the inside of me. You say, how do you do? The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. And I'm one with him. And so I always know what's going on. I don't want to give that example. Okay, I'll give you this example. well, this is another thing that I get to do. When you're preaching, you can choose. There's a lot of things available, and I can choose. This was a couple of years ago. We were dealing with the situation. Brother Hagin would do this. And let me say this, praise and worship will help you be sensitive this way. It'll help you. Because you'll get out of your natural mind down into your heart. And that's where the Holy Spirit lives. Well, how am I going to know if my kids are doing this or that? Or how am I going to know if I'm doing the right? You listen to your heart. Because your heart is right. You can get something different in your heart and your head at the same time. Have you ever been in that place? You're like, I don't know what to do. I feel like this, but then I feel like this. You need to take time and praise and worship until the heart settles, till you shut the mind up, shut the soul down, shut the emotions up, and get into your heart. And then out of your heart will teach your head. Okay? Your heart will teach your head. But it takes time. And it takes effort. And it does not just happen because you've been saved a long time. Sorry. Not how it works. You've got to set aside time and wait. And you have to shove out other stuff and just put it to the side. But you can know what your kids are doing. You can know everything that you need to know. I always know. I always know. I'm not telling you that like the Holy Spirit's checking off everything that the kids are doing to me. But if I need to know it, I know. I always know. Well, you're just saying that. Exactly. I always know. I always know with the church. Always. Why? Word of knowledge. I have a responsibility. God's not going to say, okay, you're the under shepherd. Just do the best you can. No, I'm geared with the Holy Ghost to pastor, to minister. And so I rely on that. Well, I will get back to this story. We were dealing with a particular situation. A person was ill. And everybody was praying for this person. They were in a different state. I think I told Heidi this. And everybody was telling me, we're making these faith confessions over this person. You know what? That's not a bad thing. But guess what? It's up to the individual. Unless God moves, and I'll use this word, I don't believe in everything around this word, but in this case it'll make sense. Sovereignly, through a gift of the Spirit as He wills, that person can decide to go to heaven. And there's nothing you can do about it. They'll make up their mind. Because everybody has an individual will, and God's not going to violate that will. Brother Hagin was as strong on divine healing as anybody. And his own son-in-law died of throat cancer. So it's not just up to anybody. It's up to the individual to get to know their God and build those promises in, because eventually God requires an individual to grow spiritually. Just like a good parent will require an adult to grow spiritually. Well, anyway, with this particular situation, everybody was, yeah, we just know. And then, you know, they'd have a good day and people would be like, yeah, God's moving. And then they'd have a rough day and they'd be like, oh, we don't know, you know. First of all, that tells me that's not faith. It's not faith. Faith does not wish and wash and up and down. It's steady. Well, anyway, so they kept, you know, saying this and they would ask me, you know, well, what do you think, you know? And I try not to think about the situation. I try and hear about the situation. And it's honestly easier for me to hear the further away it is from me. What do you say? What do you mean by that? If it's my own kid, it takes more effort. If it's somebody who's not related to me at all, I really have no connection to them, I can hear quicker. Why? My emotions are not involved. I just don't have a lot of emotion about it because there's not that soul connection. That's why sometimes you'll see me get very strong about certain things about my family. Because I have authority in my family. And the connection is stronger there. Well, anyway, I felt like the Lord said to me, she's not going to live. And so I prayed about it some more. And I didn't really tell anybody. I told Heidi. That was it. Because people won't understand. A lot of times. I mean, you really have to be led in what you say. Because people will just look at you like, well, you know, I've been accused of a lot of things. But in this case, I just felt like she's going home. Now, she's born again. Thank God. She's going home. She's going home. And she did. She passed away. She didn't live. And I still haven't said anything. And I won't. But it was just one of those things where I knew inside me. And praise and worship, and this continual praise and worship that these people have, where they're constantly worshiping God. And even in the midst of what goes on later on in the book of Acts, where the church stirs up the enemy against that church, against the New Testament church, and they get persecuted and they get dispersed all over the place. In those times, you want to have built up inside you praise and worship and fellowship with God. to where you can sit back in the middle of a situation and go, God is on my side. Where you can be in the middle of a prison after being beat with stripes and go, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And don't let the enemy tie you into what are you going to do. If he asks you that question, if that thought's coming to you, and like he'll do this to me, I know you've probably experienced it. We'll be dealing with a situation either in the church or with our own family or whatever's going on or at work. I got things going on at different places, and if the thought will come to me, what are you going to do about that? And I'm learning more and more. Recently, I've been saying, I don't know, but God's going to show me. I don't know, but God's going to show me. But I'm almost going to stop saying that and just go to, I know I'm not going to be afraid. What are you going to do? Well, I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to get into what ifs with you, devil. This word says, my God said to me, well, you can't hear from the Lord. Wrong. I'm his sheep. He's my shepherd. I know his voice. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Well, how can you possibly? Don't ask me that. How can? By the grace of God, I will do everything that I need to do. And his grace will work in me mightily to overcome the situations that I'm facing. Does that make sense? And then let everything else fall where it falls. But as for you, you stay steady. Because you can only live out your faith. You can't live out someone else's. So don't let them cripple you. Does that make sense? Don't let it slow you down or pull you back, because you're called of God. You're called to do what you're called to do. Well, yeah, but listen, I got family members that hate what I teach. And they're Christians. But they hate the word of faith. I mean, it just turns in that. I mean, I can see their eyeballs shift. You know what I mean? Well, we don't just, the same people will, well, anyway. But what does that got to do with what God called me to do? Well, they're your family. They do not rank higher than God. Ever. I don't care who they are. Nobody ranks higher than God. Well, they'll disown you. I'm owned by God. Jesus came for what purpose? People think, oh, he came to bring everybody, make everybody happy. Wrong. The Bible says he came to bring a sword. And that he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. The Bible actually says he came to separate a mother-in-law from her daughter-in-law. You know, you don't hear that taught on much, do you? Well, no, Sean, peace and safety. That's exactly what the world's going to preach. And they've already worked on a one-world religion. And it includes Christianity and all the other ones. And you will be labeled a heretic and a you know, everything else ist, racist, you know, all that stuff, if you don't abide by that one world system. Because don't you know, can't we just all coexist? Really? Jesus is not going to coexist. Now, I'm not the one that's going to enact the sword, but God is, and he will. And so, in praise and worship and ministering to the Lord, you are developing intimacy with the Lord. You are giving an open door for the Spirit of God to move in the area of life that you're in. But as we move closer and closer to the return of Christ, then we need to be aware of him more and more and more and walking intimately with him more and more and more. Because as we do, everything else in this earth won't matter as much because we'll have an eternal perspective. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's go. Let's talk about developing the habit of praise and worship. Let's go to Psalm 7. This is a lot of scripture. Are you ready? And if you just want to jot these down rather than trying to turn to them all, you can. Because I'll give you the reference, and that way you can go back and look at them. I mean, the book of Psalms, from what I understand, it's actually five books. And it was the Jews, like a hymnal, I guess, for lack of a better term. But it was their songbook, Psalms was, and it's actually five books. But Psalms chapter 7, verse number 17 says this, and this is how you develop the habit of praise and worship. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 says this, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I love this verse too. It says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You know, if you're doing this, you don't have a lot of time to worry about anything. This is the praise cure. You know, sometimes doctors and different ones will come up with these miracle drugs, whatever. This is it right here. You know, years ago, smallpox went through and it was a killer until they developed just different medical things that have treated it and stopped it, which I believe are the Lord as well. You know, anytime you can stop something that's killing people. Anyway, so smallpox came through and there's a missionary overseas that ended up getting smallpox and they quarantined her. And because she was working in an orphanage with a bunch of kids and they didn't want it to spread. And so in this quarantine place, she just got to praising God. Because basically they thought she was dead. So she just got to praising God. And she started praising God and she praised the Lord for about 24 hours straight and her body was completely healed. Everything left. Every symptom, all of it left. And people say, well, how could that happen? Because we know that there is no sickness in the presence of God. And when you get over into the Spirit, this is something that's been lost to a few generations too, but when you get over into the Spirit and you're no longer as cognizant of what's going on around you, you're more aware of God's presence and God's anointing and His power, and you continue to move that way, well, in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, and what is the joy of the Lord? It is your strength. It's what gives you strength to do what you need to do. See, really, your strength is not in your physical body. Your strength is in your spirit. And when you, the more you release it into your body, the more you'll be able to do. That's why living a righteous life is a good idea. You won't beat yourself to death with sin. So I will be glad and rejoice in you. Do you know what that word rejoice means? Some of you probably do. That word rejoice means to jump up and down and spin around. And it actually carries with violence. It's a violent emotion is what it says in Strong's. It's a violent spinning or turning. You ever seen anybody dance in the spirit? I mean, like, get after it. Not the ballet stuff. Okay? Not that one. But, like, get after it in the spirit. That's what that is right there. When the Bible says that Jesus rejoiced, that's what it's talking about. He would jump up and down and spin around. Isn't that interesting? Jesus did that. Why? Because it's an emotion, and it's a in other words, it's a strong emotion of joy that's coming through you and out of you. Have you ever been in a service where somebody did something by the Spirit of God, and you can just feel it move through the crowd? That's what that is. This is another form of that, but like if you had a prophetic word or something like that, a tongue and interpretation, something like that, where you just feel that word go through you, that was under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Psalms 21:13 says, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing praise and praise your power. I love that. Praise your power. Lord, your power is amazing. We praise your power. You know, it almost sounds like, how can you do that? Well, his power is synonymous with him. So, if you're in the middle of a situation, here's another thing here. Talk about the power of God and what it can do. Don't talk about the situation, what the doctor said. Talk about the power of God. Talk about the nature of God, who He is. And you'll see this in Scripture over and over. But Job said this, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. You know what most people do at destruction? You know, if you were in most churches and somebody got up and shared a trouble that they had, and the preacher got up afterwards and said, now let's all laugh at that problem, you'd be kicked out of that church. Why? Because they don't take heed to, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. They take heed to, oh man, what are we going to do? But God doesn't look at the problem and go, what are we going to do? Do you remember the passage, the story where Jesus came? They had brought, I believe it was an epileptic boy to him who would throw, had a spirit, throw him into fire, throw him into water. You think about that, okay? This is amusing to me a little bit. That means that that family avoided fires and water at all costs. You realize that? Think about it. They avoided it at all costs. Why? Because that spirit would grab the kid when they get near fire or water and try and throw him. It's just an interesting thought to me. Well, the disciples couldn't get him set free, supposedly, but they couldn't get him set free. And the man came to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, have mercy on us. Have you ever read that passage? And what did Jesus say to him? If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, Jesus is not saying if, like, you may not be able to. He's saying if you choose to believe, your son will be delivered. And actually, the interesting thing about this is, if you look at the original construction of it, and you read in different translations, it actually says Jesus looked at him and said, what do you mean if I can? In other words, the man said, if you can do anything, and Jesus looked at him and said, what do you mean if I can do anything? If you can believe, all things are... In other words, my power is not the question, Bubba. Whether I can set this... In other words, what do we know about Jesus? He looked at situations that the world gave up on and he went, this is easy. This is easy. Why? At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. When the problem no longer owns you, you're in faith. I'm not saying it doesn't affect your emotions. I'm just saying when you stand up in the middle of your problem, I heard Brother Egan say this, and you declare, God has not given me a spirit of fear. And the enemy comes to you. And Brother Hagin talked about this. And the enemy said to him, your body's shaking. And he said, I'm not my body. I'm a spirit on the inside. I did this with Heidi one time. So when we first were Heidi and I decided we were first going to have kids, Heidi had some complications the first time and ended up having a DNC. So they did an ultrasound inside the womb. There was no baby. It was just a womb. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Except for the little ones. Because I'm not going to explain it that deep. But so there was just the womb. There was no baby in the womb. So then they had to remove that out so that it didn't just come out on its own. Make sense? So we go to have, actually it was Kylie when Heidi got pregnant with Kylie. So what thought is coming back to me now? That it's going to be happen again, right? So what am I doing the whole time? I'm declaring the word, right? I'm speaking the word. What did you feel? I felt a lot of things. Who cares? God didn't ask me to express how I feel. He asked me to express His word and stand on His word. So then we go to the doctor to have an ultrasound and hear the baby's heartbeat. Yeah, right. Both those, right? And of course, they ask you everything that's happened in your life. You know, because it may happen again. You know, and I understand why they do it. So sometimes I get a little ornery. But anyway, it's the fight in me, okay? It's not directed at the person. It's directed at the spirit that's moving behind the scenes, because I understand how it operates, at least to some degree. So anyway, we go there, and I'm sitting there in the chair, and I was shaking. My body was. And Heidi asked me, do you remember that? You asked me, are you shaking? And I said, no. And people say, you lied. No, I didn't. My body is not me. And then she went and she did the ultrasound, or she did the heartbeat thing first, right? And you could hear Kylie's heartbeat. You know, it's rapid, you know, the little. And as soon as she did that, I went, glory. I said it out loud. It just came out of me. Well, I wasn't shaking. Oh, yeah, because your identity is not in your flesh. It's in your spirit. And your spirit connects with God. And you can bless the Lord all day long. Well, I'm having problems in this area. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. How are we gonna get out of this? I just bless you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Well, I haven't done this. No, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You are faithful. I mess things up. I know it, but you're gonna make it good. I'm trusting you. How are you going to get, where is the money? No. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. How are you going to pastor that many? No. I'm anointed. Praise the Lord. God's put his anointing on me. Well, you do this wrong and that wrong. And the Lord has made me righteous through his blood. And it is by faith that I am righteous. And I will learn and grow and develop and repent and apologize and ask for forgiveness and do it again until we get it right. Exactly. I read about the apostles. Those guys were not saints until Jesus was raised from the dead. Then they all became saints. Peter cut a guy's ear off in front of Jesus. I have not done that yet. Okay? I have not done that. Peter cussed, the Bible says. He cursed. These guys were fishermen, not... Jesus didn't go to the temple to find all the religious perfectionists. In fact, he didn't look at the fishermen and call them whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. He didn't look at them and say, you're a bunch of snakes, you hypocrites, you vipers. He didn't look at them and say that. I mean, you look at that and you go, wow. You know? Ministry tips from Jesus. Find a group of religious people and start rebuking them. See what they do. Psalm 22:22 says this. Says, I will declare your name to my brethren. I like that. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Psalms 22:25. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. Psalms 28, verse 7. Oh man, these are so good. There's so many. 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and shield. I like that. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. I will praise him. Now, a lot of these, if you read the history of some of these psalms, a lot of them are in the midst of trouble. Paul or David's declaring his God's faithfulness and his praise to him in the midst of trouble. Psalms 30, verse 4 says this, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. I like that. Psalms 30, verse 11 says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Now, why use the word clothed me with gladness? David, or whoever wrote this psalm, must have felt gladness come on him like a coat. His situation, had he ever felt like you'd been clothed with a problem? So you could be clothed with a solution. You could be clothed with gladness and rejoicing and joy. Psalms 33 verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Verse 2, praise the Lord with the harp, make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings or any amount of strings. Verse 3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. That's something we need to learn how to do. Shout for joy. Just shout about it. I mean, I don't think worship in the Old Testament with these guys was quiet. I mean, if the enemy army can hear you miles away, your praise and worship is not quiet. Your praise and worship is not quiet. Psalms 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. You're bragging about God. You're just bragging about your God. I know. That's exactly what I'm doing. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Psalms 35, verse 18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Psalms 35, verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Psalm 40, verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Psalm 42, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalms 42, verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalms 43, 4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Psalm 44, verse 8, in God we boast all day long and praise your name forevermore. Psalm 51, 15, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Psalm 52, verse 9, I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Psalm 54, verse 6, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Verse 7, for he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. I love that. My eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. The Lord has delivered me out of all trouble. All trouble. All trouble. Everyone. Everyone. You've been delivered out of everyone. In Christ, you've been delivered. Now, your enemy today is not the person sitting next to you, but it is anything that the Lord has declared in his word that is associated with the works of the devil. Anything that you find in the word that is connected with the devil is your enemy. So, and your trouble. So you can declare this over yourself. The Lord has delivered me from all my trouble. All my trouble. All of it. And I have seen with my own eyes my desire upon my enemies. What's my desire upon the enemy? That he would be destroyed. That he'd be destroyed in my life, my family's life, in every area. In the people's lives that we have influence or contact with. Psalm 56, verse 4, in God I will praise his word. You can praise his word, you know. In God I have put my trust, I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What? What? What can they do? What? What can flesh do to me? Jesus put it like this, man may be able to kill the flesh, but you don't fear that. You fear the one who can kill both the body and the spirit. That's God. So you fear, in other words, here he's saying, look, praise the Lord, I'm safe. Man can't do anything to me. Psalms 56:10, in God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. Verse 11, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Psalms 57:7, my heart is steadfast. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake the lute and the harp. I will awaken the dawn. In other words, break open in the morning with praise and worship. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. I got to skip on here. I got too many pages of notes. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to what? All generations. Well, that old book, it's outdated. No. The truth endures to all generations. All generations. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. In other words, while I'm hanging on to the tent, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. I got it good. You say, how you got it good? I got food and I got clothing, and with these I shall be content. I will bless the Lord. Well, what if you don't ever, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Don't let the enemy get you in the what if zone. The what if zone is of Satan. Stay out of there. He always wants to drag you into reason. Make sure you drag him into the arena of faith. If you step out of the cage of faith and into the cage of reason, the enemy is going to whip you every time. But if you just stay in the arena of faith, which means very simply this, you combat him and keep him in the area of the Word of God and what God said about him and about you in relationship to him. No, he comes to you with the what if. You say, no, Mr. Devil, no. I resist you steadfast in the faith. But it's been 3 months. What's that got to do with anything? Well, yeah, but this person's been sick with this problem for so many years. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. Nothing. What does it? God does not care about time. He's not limited by time. What about the woman with the issue of blood? How long was she sick? She was not only sick, but broke because she spent everything she had on the doctors. What did that matter? The presence of God came in an instant. She reached out by faith, and years of yoke building by the enemy was destroyed like that. We praise his power. Glory to God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God built the machine. He can put the machine back together. The enemy may try and take it apart, but he can fix it. God does not languish over what to do. He just goes inside and goes, yep, this. And that's it. Like the miracle I heard about. Gentleman had tuberculosis. He had gotten to the point where, well, basically, and we'll end with this. I'm not going to get to the Kohathites and the all them. I really wanted to get to 2 Chronicles 20, but I never did. But anyway, this, yeah, it's still in the Bible, so you can go read it. But this gentleman was an evangelist for years and had tuberculosis. This is before there was any sort of treatments or anything for it. He developed tuberculosis, and everywhere he went, he told the congregations and he asked them to pray for him everywhere he went. So he had thousands and thousands of people praying for him. Well, he got to the point where he couldn't even get out of bed. And he actually had to be turned over on a sheet so he wouldn't get bed sores. Now, how late is too late? You know what I mean? I mean, Lazarus got himself in the grave for 4 days. That's still reversed. God still reversed that. If you just don't quit. So anyway, So he won't have bed sores. They're turning him over. One day he was there at his mother. It was his wife's parents' farm, because he was living with them because he couldn't do anything. And he was looking out the window, and the family was on the other side of the house. He was looking out the back of the house, and he saw some bushes way out beyond the house. And he said, he just decided, Lord, if you give me enough strength, I'll get out of this bed and I'll walk down to those bushes and I'll just pray until I'm healed or until I die. And he just put it out there. And he said somehow or another, he mustered up enough strength and he got out there, and the Lord gave him strength, and he got way out there and he got down behind those bushes, and he couldn't even talk above a whisper. He couldn't even whisper because he was so out of breath, because his lungs, tuberculosis eats your lungs. That's what it does. He was coughing up blood. That's how far he was along. Anyway, so he's behind the bush, and the devil said, oh, now you did it. He said, now you did it. The only way that your family's not going to even know where you're at, the only way they're going to find you is the buzzards are going to come. You know, he's having these thoughts come to him. And he said, he told the gentleman that was telling the testimony, he said, just in his heart, he's answering back because he can't even talk. He said, oh, no, I'm going to lay here. And he said, I'm going to pray. And then he got to thinking about it. And he said, until I'm healed or until I go to heaven. When he got to thinking about it, he thought, you know, all those people I have praying for me, how is prayer going to help me anymore? He said, there must have, even if they only stopped, all the people he told, for 1 minute and prayed for him, it would have been thousands of people praying and probably thousands of hours of prayer that had been lifted up before the Lord. And he said, it just came to his mind. And he just said inside, you know what, Lord, forget that. I'm going to praise you here until I'm healed or until I go to heaven. And he just started praising the Lord. And after about an hour, he got enough strength in his body to where he could whisper. And he started saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And then after about 2.5 hours, he was on his feet screaming. They could hear him miles away praising God. He was completely healed. Now, here's the cool part. It's a continual miracle. Think about this. He would go to the doctor every once in a while. He still had a hole in his lung from the tuberculosis. And the doctor would look at it, and he'd just go to have a checkup, and he did it just to mess with the doctors. Is why he did it. But that's the advantage of having a miracle. You can do that. So anyway, the doctor said, well, I don't understand it. And he goes, what don't you understand, doc? He said, that lung right there on the left side has a big old hole in it. But yet it's working just like the other one. How do you explain that? He goes, yep, I know. It's been that way for years. It's a miracle. God healed me in tuberculosis. There was another man who fell off an oil rig and shattered his elbow. He's not supposed to be able to write with his left hand. The insurance company, even though he could use the elbow and showed him he could use it, but the x-ray showed that it was in 1,000 pieces, it didn't matter. The insurance company goes, well, we got to go by what the doctors say. He said, but look at the arm. I write all my reports with it. I can do everything that I ever could with it. Yeah, but the x-ray shows, and it was years later, the x-ray still showed. The insurance company kept paying him for the disability on that arm, because the doctor said it was shattered, but God, it was just a continuous miracle for the rest of his life. God doesn't even need to fix the physical thing to make it work. How about the man that had the miracle in his life? He has a glass eye, and he can see out the glass eye. He hands people, he covers his good eye. People hand him his driver, their driver's license, and he'll read it with the glass eye. He'll take the eye out and read it. How? It's a continuous miracle. It's a continuous miracle. And so if you want this to continue, then you take this with you and praise the Lord. All day, every day. Praise the Lord. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night with praise the Lord. I learned this from the best. I'm talking about Brother Hagin. He would tell us testimonies about how when he was a kid, or even how he got healed when he was 16, but then later on, heart attack would try and come back to him. He'd wake up in the middle of the night, he'd say with alarming heart symptoms, and he would just get up and go, glory to God, in the middle of what's going on. Why? I'm not going to give in to the enemy. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to give in to worry. I'm going to declare the works of the Lord and see God move in my life. He would get up and laugh. Here he's having heart problems. You know, this is serious. And he's going, ha, 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 devil. And he would put on laughing. He'd just put it on. I mean, Brother Hagin's fake laugh wasn't even good. It was just, ha, 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 ha. That's what he did. Ha, ha, ha. And then eventually he'd say, the devil would ask me, what are you laughing at? And he'd say, I'm laughing at you. And he'd say, why are you laughing at me? Because you said I was going to die, but the word of God said, and that I wasn't going to be healed. But the word of God already says I was healed, which means I don't have to get healed because it's already done. And he would say this, he'd make statements. You've never seen the devil get in such a hurry to clean up all his things and leave. And all the symptoms would leave. And he'd be fine. What is that? People call it crazy. I call it faith. And you know what? Jesus calls it faith. Practice. You're going to have plenty of opportunities. Practice. Well, won't you take care of my problem? That's taking care of your problems right there. You're fed. Now go do something. In Jesus' name, amen? All right, bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.